Well, we need three things working for us. We need ears to hear, eyes to see. Yes, ma'am. And a heart to understand. So I'll just pray about that. Father, in Jesus' name, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to understand that we may apply your word and understand. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Acts chapter 1, we're still on the first 8 verses. I think we read it, and then we'll work from a point of view, apostolic point of view, of bringing a change in your life personally and to the body of Christ. I like the title of the book, Acts. That bespeak action in the spirit. It's called the Acts of the Apostle, but it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. Listen, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. I want to make a note of doing and teaching, not just teaching. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, Jesus, through the Holy Ghost. Now, this is a panorama view of something that transpired. He's giving you the whole insight of Jesus raising from the dead, then ascending, then seated at the right hand of the Father, and sending the Holy Ghost back. All right, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the thing pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then he said in the fourth verse, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? Well, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father had put in his own power. But then verse 8 is a pivotal verse in this whole scenario. He says, read verse 8 with me, but you shall receive power. When we talk about, you saw it coming in here, Jesus used me. I have a few questions I want to ask you, because it's a big turn in your life as a Christian about to take place. And only the Holy Spirit can help you make this turn. It's a big turn that is about to be made. In the church and in your own personal life. And that turn is a beneficial turn, because a lot of things we have not been able to accomplish. We know the power is there, but it seemed like the power, we can't fully use the power as we should as believers, because our lives bespeak we're not using it fully. Now, this question is not a trick question, but it's a revealing question to you that the blueprint has to be changed. The blueprint has been wrong for centuries, and the church has not been in her position. Because when you say it's Jesus used me, now that's a statement, and now a lot of other things you may be thinking Jesus using you. But it's not Jesus using you. Think about it. Think about it. It's really not Jesus using you. It may be in your entire Christian life, Jesus never used you. The church is programmed to use Jesus. The question, the first question is, what have you done for Jesus in the last 30 days? Coming to church is not for Jesus. Praying is not for Jesus. Study the scriptures is not for Jesus. What have you done for Jesus in the last year? Now, if I was to let you stand up, I'd probably cut everyone down, whatever you say. It'd probably be cut down because you could look at it. If you look at it spiritually and properly, it wasn't for Jesus. It was for you. But that's the way you've been taught for many years, without the government of the apostolic insight to show you there's only one thing you can do for Jesus. You say, well, I live right for him. That ain't for him. I prayed 2 hours. That ain't for him. What, you trying to get something for Jesus when you were praying? Or when you're reading the scripture, would you try to find out something for Jesus? I've just got to bring you there. I got to bring you that class. I got to bring you here because there are some things we're missing because of improper teaching. See, there can be no discipleship without apostolicship. Yes, sir. Amen. And so the government of understanding that in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come up and you shall be witnesses. You see what he said? But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses unto me. So, everything you do for Jesus must surround one thing. So wrong and undertraining have set us back. Wrong. And undertraining has set us back. Now, my job is to show you how to let Jesus use you. And then a lot of other things that you are attempting to make happen will happen automatically. When the blueprint is wrong, everything will be hard to complete. There is an inner blueprint that has to be corrected in the body of Christ in order for the body of Christ to walk in. Well, let me say it another way. That's a blueprint. We actually have been abused. We've been living, the body of Christ been living in worldly abuse. And nobody won't be abused. Abused, accused, misused, the body of Christ has. Because of a wrong inner blueprint. That blueprint must be corrected. We will correct it. In the book of Acts, you got to correct that blueprint. Now, You know, blueprint is what you build by, you know. All right. The inner blueprint of Jesus using you will have to be established against a lot of reasoning and emotion. And then you'll get to the spiritual part, and then you'll be in the position where the Lord really can use you. You have to go against a lot of big names, a lot of numbers, in order to correct things in the spirit. Because a lot of things in the spirit have gone into big names, into big numbers, but yet at large, the body of Christ is still suffering. The abuse has raped the assignment. Listen to me now, because I'm going to touch some heavy things tonight. The abuse of an improper inner blueprint, spiritual blueprint, of Jesus using you have had damaging effect on the assignment. In becoming a Christian, there's the relationship, okay, but then there is discipleship. Then there is, you come to a point with God that you're in partnership. And you know how to have proper fellowship. Just get that thing down. The Holy Spirit will help us with them. Okay. The abuse have shut down the assignment. Evangelism is not the only assignment that you have. It's a part of it. Teaching and training and showing infallible proof in your life that this is real. Because of the abuse of misunderstanding of letting Jesus use us instead of us always trying to use Jesus. Jesus, listening here. Yeah, he with me. He said, tell him, boy. Tell him. Because what this is going to do is open a whole new arena to you. And here's some of the things. When you are in proper alignment with the assignment, things run smooth when they're going bad. Because you have no problem. You're in alignment. When you're in alignment with this assignment, all the scriptures come to your rescue. Every promise, everything God said is right there with you. All right? When you understand how to let Jesus use you, there's a certain authority that you're going to wear. In your personal life, in your family, in every situation you deal with, because you're hooked up properly. See, don't forget now, you're moving from abuse to assignment, to alignment, to authority. You can properly function in your authority when you know how to let Jesus use you. Now, all other things, all we've been doing, body of Christ, I'm not only talking to you, I'm talking to the world. All we've been doing, because of improper blueprint, we've been using Jesus. But Jesus now tonight is asking you to let me use you. I sung a song. That ain't Jesus using you. You see, all these, and none of y'all can answer this question. What you done for Jesus the last 30 days? How have Jesus used you? your authority increase, your anointing increases. Watch the next one. Watch the next one. Oh, Jesus. Watch the next one. Lord, when the Lord told me that, I said, oh, Jesus. Your abundance. Yes, sir. Increase. We have been trying to get abundance by using Jesus. That's why so many don't have it. By prayer, by saying, Lord, you know I love you. Yeah, yeah, let me use you. Okay? So here we got authority. We got, and I'll get down to it in a minute. We got authority. We got anointing. We got abundance. We have access. When Jesus used me. Now, how many things can Jesus use me for? Act 1:8 tell you. That's what he used you for. To plant the kingdom in somebody's heart. That's our assignment. Very simple. Very simple. When you start doing that, all the rest, authority, anointing, abundance, start following you. Yes, sir. Start following you. See, that's why he said, miracles, signs, and wonders shouldn't be followed by us. But miracles, signs, and wonders should follow us. I know you're going to be a little quiet now. That's all right. Just go ahead and take it in. I want you to take it in. Because what we're doing now, your whole lifestyle is about to be changed. Because your discipleship is not strong enough. And so you have to be strengthened in your discipleship before you become an apostolic believer. Apostolic believer is not a denomination. Nothing new. It's something old that need to be restored for you to be the person that God wants you to be. It's not no new idea, new revelation. It's been there all the time, but we're catching a hold of it. And when you do that, basically, you're not going to have no problem. Amen. So I would say this. Our major problem is Jesus have not had the opportunity to use us. We have a crowded agenda in our life. Our agenda is crowded, and Jesus one of them. Amen. Can I teach you? Yes, sir. Then don't set you and say I'm not talking to you either. You the very one I'm coming out there to get. I'll be out there in a few minutes. I see you talking. He ain't talking to me. Jesus using me. All right. Let me show you why. Let me show you. And we'll stay in these first 8 verses a while. Let me show you why. Let me show you with this boy in Mark chapter 10. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Yeah, as if the Lord used you so much because you come to church. And because you read your Bible. You know, and because you know some scriptures, so the Lord really know he's using me. No, with the scripture and knowing your Bible, you trying to use the Lord. See, a pastor will patch you up, but an apostle will set you up. That you can do what you're supposed to do to be who you're supposed to be. To receive what is rightfully yours. Ain't nobody got no gripe with that, I know. I was about to say something that I'd be lying. And I checked myself because it would go all against what I'm seeing in the spirit, About to say, what more can we do for Jesus? I'm about to say, what more, as if we've been doing a whole lot. Work with me. You're going to see it because it makes life more easier with more difficulty. Difficulty won't mean nothing to you no more, because you're going to be so settled and satisfied with your relationship and your walk with the Lord. You know it just can't happen. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now here's a boy. Have outside action without inner connection. And that's what we got. You got to check ourselves. Now, do I have an inner connection with this, or this just an outside action that I'm going through? You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Here in this boy. Don't get the rich off your mind, the rich young ruler. Just get that off your mind. I won't show you the boy. I ain't talking about no money. Let's just get it off your mind that he had a form of God using him, but denying the Lord the right to do it.
Wow, sir.
A form of the Lord using him, but when it got down to the nitty gritty, he denied the Lord the right to do it. He was happy with all the stuff he had got. But when the Lord says, now I won't use you with the stuff I give you. So at large in the body of Christ, we have giants in the body of Christ are not being used. All right, let me ask you a question. In the last 30 days, how many of y'all have prayed? Y'all ain't prayed in the last 30 days? Y'all ain't prayed? They scared to hold their hand up. I don't know what he, no, I ain't let him trick me. He don't trick me. In the last 30 days, how many of y'all have prayed yet? I said, Lord Jesus, I know I got a job y'all tonight. That wasn't for Jesus. See? And that's what you got to understand, because if we don't understand that, we'll think we're doing something for Jesus or letting Jesus use us, but actually we're in the process of using Jesus. Now, when the two correlate, what a time it's going to be. What a time it would be. I know personally. I know personally. What it means to let Jesus use you. When that happened, you listening?
Yes, sir.
Very seldom, if any time, you have to ask for anything. I got you in Mark. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something here that might shake you up a little bit, but it'll help you. Turn to Isaiah 55. Hold Mark. Turn to Isaiah 55. And what I'm dealing with is what's so much important as we're going into the book of Acts to learn how to function as a New Testament believer. And the first thing I believe is to understand how to let Jesus use you. How to stop putting these psychological, positive, optimistic statement to God and believe you being you. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 4. There are three levels there. Three levels in that verse. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people. Number one. You can't skip that one. Number one. That's what it looked like what Acts 1:8 was saying, right? A leader, second level. A leader, and the third level, a commander. What have happened in the body of Christ? We have tried to become commanders without being witnesses. We have tried to lead other people, lead people when we're not a witness. Although there's no, by many infallible proof, Jesus showed himself to them. Amen. I did do what I said I was going to do. I did. I was dead, but I'm alive. Yeah. Proof. Yeah. Evidence. So to be a witness is the key to it all. Amen. Everything else is going to come. Can you see it?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Remember what Jesus said when they questioned him? He said, I must be by my Father's business. Yes. Children, this is a business.
Yes.
This is kingdom business. We got to be busy in the business of the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
But what I've seen over these 40-something years is people have God on their agenda list. And I mean, if something else come up now, God is so kind. Just push him on the side. Push that on the side. Let's go do this and we'll come back to God when we get ready. We got to hear this. We got to understand this, you see. We got to understand this. Now go back to Mark. Yeah, this boy with all these religious accolades. All the commandments I keep them. Go back to Mark 10. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what I told you about Mark 10 too. So we can get connected there. Outside action without inside connection is not pleasing to God. This boy, he talked about all, he started at the 17th verse. He was just talking, and he really thought he was had it going on, and he was the child of God of the year. and that's a lot of, you know, this question can rock the whole body of Christ. See, this is an apostolic question. This is the apostolic question. What have you done for Jesus the last 30 days? See, you can come up with a whole lot of answers, but you most probably won't be right. But what have you asked Jesus to do for you in the last 30 days? I mean, have you tried to use him in any kind of way? What about when he come to you? Or what about when you go to him? Who acted better? And the Lord said, I would do more for you, but he's going to push you further away from me. The reason things, a lot of things you've been asking for, I can't give them to you because you're going to think you're going the right way. Until I can get your inner ear to understand, let me use you. And we'll work everything else out. Now, some people in church 25, 30, 40, 50 years have not heard this question, have not understood this, what I'm talking about tonight. Because the apostolic mantle and the apostolic dimension has been taken out of the church and the government has not been proper. People have been programmed for numbers and emotion and reasoning and large numbers of people. They're already excited about that. But being a real Christian, being real, it's a proof here in Darrow, you don't have to be popular and you don't have to be in a big place for the Lord to use you. It's proof right here. It's proof right here. God doing it. And so, are you willing to let Jesus use you as much as you try to use him?
Yes.
Can he call on you? You see? Praying 8, 9 times for something that don't need to be done. Yeah, this boy here, he talked about all these religious attributes in the 17th verse. And when he was gone, Mark 10:17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Oh, you're running. Sometimes we run for Jesus, you know, right? Running and kneel to him and ask him, good master, call him good master. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You notice he ain't say what I can do for you. He's trying to get something. And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. I mean, verse 18, verse 19, thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery. Watch this now. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. You can be doing all that and still don't let Jesus use you. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus knew he needed an operation. Jesus took the knife out, took the sword out. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He loved him for it. And then said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come take up your cross and follow me. Come take up your cross and follow me. Come take up your cross and follow me. I mean, Terry and the praisers could be singing. Them twins could be playing like they never played before. We'd be rocking it in here. And all of a sudden, I come here and say, the Lord want us to do this. Huh? And we've been weaving and bobbing and jumping. People who are used by Jesus submit to authority. When it comes down to Jesus, you don't have no own life. He went away sad. Cause he went, Jesus told him, one thing that I lack it. Jesus told him. Jesus, you my Lord. Jesus, you my master. Then Jesus tell you something through me. And you going to Mount Pilgrim or Mount Somer somewhere, you know, because I ain't got to go through all this. I'm going to go to church where they don't tell you to do all this. Aren't you tired playing the lotteries? Yes, sir. In the spirit? Come on, let me. I'm talking to you as the pastor and the apostle. There's a number you can hit it every time. You follow what I'm saying? And we're not just talking about no money. We're just talking about life in large. There's a lot of things we need done up in here. Right up in here tonight. If the truth was told, there's a lot of things that we need done right up in here now. Jesus used me. Say that.
Jesus used me.
Say it again.
Jesus used me.
Say it with fear and trembling the third time.
Jesus used me.
Because he's going to start rearranging some things. Things that you thought was right. They were not right. And they were not honoring him. We want to honor him, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, I believe I got some born again people in here, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so let me ask your apostle. I'm your apostle. If I ain't nobody else's apostle. I'm yours.
Yes,
and most of y'all have been a help to me, have been around me all these years to come to this point. But the Lord know when he put me after something, I'm going to go after it 100% all the time. My life, I just throw my life into it because I love what I do.
Yes, sir.
And I sense your prayer life changing. Everything gonna start changing because if you make yourself available, to him. Like you want him available to you. 100%. All in. See. You have all in, Pastor. I'm all in. I don't know what else it is for me to be so excited about. Huh? You know, when you're all in, you do strange things to normal people. I come down to pray today, and I was happening to drive one of my sport cars, Maserati. It's white, red on the inside. But you know that Maserati, what I got here, and I turned it toward that sign out there where it said, Jesus, use me. And I never got inside. I prayed right there. Took notes right there. Now, that's not normal. I mean, you know, that's not normal. You got a hot car. You know, you can go ride. But that's not normal. You're sitting out there looking at the sign, taking notes, praying. I mean, that's not normal. See, you got to get away from that normal life. Wherever he grasps you, let him have you. You follow what I'm saying? I was sitting there, I think about this congregation now. They'll say that, Pastor sitting out here, this is not normal. I said, I don't know how long I sat out there. Praying in tongue, praying about the night, praying about giving the Holy Spirit the right to let us see this change that's coming in our lives. Now, he's going to minister to you more about it. You're going to understand better and better. But that's not normal, see? In other words, nothing really excites me unless Jesus is involved. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about yielding to the Holy Spirit. That you don't let this system take you out. He went away sad, right? All right, let's look at another scripture. A statement with no understanding how. Write that down. Statements we make with no understanding how. Look in Luke 9:57. Luke 9:57. Then I'm going to give you some points. Luke 9:57. Make some bold statement, you know. And then Jesus said, I can use you? All right. You really mean that? All right. In my Bible, it talks about the high cost of discipleship. It's expensive. It's expensive. It's real expensive to let Jesus use you. It will cost you your whole life. But I bet you'll never regret it. Now and forever, you won't regret it. Let me use you, Jesus said. Each one of you all got a unique aspect of you that the Lord want to use. Everybody can't be up here. But in whatever way he wants to use you, let him use you. Look at this. Verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whatsoever thou goest. Jesus said, all right. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes. And the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, they took that as a poverty voice. But you know what Jesus was saying? Do you really want to know? Not many people like me. You're going to follow me. I'm not popular. I don't have many houses they're going to invite me in. Because they don't want the anointing in that house and they don't want righteous living in that house. So I foxes have holes in the bird, the air have nests, they'll let a bird in, but they won't let me in. If you won't follow me, you're going to have to separate from some people. If you want me to use you, you're going to have to separate from some people. She says, Jesus answered him, all right, now watch what you're saying. Foxes have holes in the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now this is heavy here. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. Wow. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Amen. Wow. He called him out from his father's funeral. He said, I'm not taking second place to your dead father. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go to bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Man, man, man. So let me read this to you in our clothes. We have in the church as believers to use Jesus. Have you ever used Jesus' name to accomplish something for yourself? Have you ever prayed in Jesus' name? Using God, using the Holy Spirit, using Jesus, using the church, using the word, but how much are you permitting the Lord to use you? The other man was a businessman. I knew him as a little boy. Freedom will know who I'm talking about when I say it. You meet him, and he would make this statement. He owned a grocery store. You meet him, he says, something for nothing. Something for nothing. That's what he used to tell my dad. He used to stop by there and he used to come out and talk to him. He said, something for nothing, Tom. There's no truth in the statement. Amen. There's no such thing as something for nothing. Yes, then I write, quote Salamasha, I ask, where are you in this? Where are you in this? Would you like to be qualified more fully for Jesus to use you in these apostolic time as an apostolic believer, knowing how to yield to God through government and share it working with many? Prepare yourself, for you haven't seen nothing yet. Get ready to always walk through the front door of power. Jesus will manifest himself through you at this hour. In the last days, men will be loving of pleasure more than of God. There will be seducing spirits moving and seducing people. The world is seducing the church now with commercials, and there's a movie out now talking about boy what? Boy Erased. Talking about gay, yeah, Boy Erased. It's a gay movie. Boy Erased. In other words, taking manhood from boys in a slick way. You sit there and watch that movie and they'll put some groove in you. that is all right. You never would see a naked woman on television when I was a boy, but that's all you very seldom you see a woman with her clothes on now. Recognize that this arrangement is bigger than you. Therefore, you need the Holy Spirit in every step. Now, I'm going to read something to you, and then I'm going to go back to Acts, and I'm going to close. You have been chosen to help establish the kingdom on earth. All right? Lift your hand up. Come on. Everybody lift your hand up, please, Jesus. You have been chosen to help establish the kingdom on earth. All right? Got that. All right, now. Listen, take notes here. In Bible time, Apostolos, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S, was a word used by the Greeks and the Romans to describe special military envoys who was handpicked, given all power and authority and charge to subdue, conquer, train, and establish their kingdom in new territory. Today, we translate this word as apostle. And today we are still being called like the first century apostles to subdue and conquer the enemy, to instruct, train, and establish the kingdom in people's heart. But if we are to see the church fulfill her mission, advancing the kingdom, we need to understand how apostolic, her apostolic dimension. Need to understand her apostolic dimension. And I'll get into that more. Let's go back to our golden text in Acts. Let's wrap these eight verses up, then we'll go further in the book. I'm planning on doing the whole book of Acts. Go back to the eighth chapter now. Go back to the eighth chapter. First chapter. I'm going to go voice by voice right quick. Luke is the writer, and he's writing to a man, Theophilus, and he's giving a panorama view of what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead and what he said to the disciples or the apostles. And notice he spoke to the apostles. So first of all, what God spoke, he spoke to the apostles. Then the apostles are supposed to speak it to the church. All right. I'm at voice one again now. We're down these eight verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So he's talking about what Jesus did, and he's talking about what Jesus taught. And so I say to you and emphasize, we just can't teach. We got to do something. Amen. All right? Then he says, until the day in which he was taken up. Until the day in which he was taken up. I see, that's one segment, then he jumped. After he, through the Holy Ghost, have given commandment unto the apostle whom he has chosen. The commandment was given to who?
The apostle.
How?
To
the Holy Ghost. So it's spiritual thing. Now tonight, we haven't been really emotional. And you think you haven't been to church. And that's why you're messing up here. That's why we have so much fighting to do. You won't have that fighting to do if you surrender and yield and say, Lord, I don't want nothing today. See what I'm saying? See, all our time we spend with the Lord is we talking about what we need, what we're going through. We don't have enough time to fellowship with him. We always want something. Lord said, yes, she come. She ain't gonna even say good morning. Yes, she come. Take time and say good morning, Lord. I'm glad to be with you this morning. If it was a thing that the Lord could be shocked, if it was possible, you go up there tomorrow and don't ask for nothing. If it was such a thing that the Lord need counsel, if it was such a thing that you can blow the Lord's mind, you go up there tomorrow and don't ask for nothing. I'll get some emotion up in you right now. When the Lord asked Solomon what he wanted, Solomon said, Lord, I don't want to use you. I want you to use me. Amen. Exactly what he was saying. Yes. He said, Lord, show me how to do what you want to do. Yes. The Lord said, what? See, you're not going to ask me for nothing. You don't want no prosperity. You don't want me to get your enemy. You don't want nothing. The Lord said, because you made yourself available for me to use you, I'm going to make you the richest man that ever lived. Read it in 1 Kings 3. Read it. Read it. Read it. He said, Solomon, what you want? Man, I'd have had a list. What about you? Come on now, y'all be truthful now. What about you? I'd have had a list. I'd still be talking. But the man knew a secret. The man said, no, I want to prepare myself for you to use me. The Lord said, all right. If you let me use you, you'll never have to ask me nothing again. You see how simple that is? He ain't asked for nothing but wisdom that I go in and out among your people. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then the third voice, to whom also he showed himself alive. The word alive is very important because he's supposed to be dead. After his passion, in other words, the energy he used between Gethsemane to the cross, by many infallible proof they couldn't deny, that was him. And then it being seen of them 40 days as between the resurrection and the ascension, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What are you speaking about? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If that what Jesus was speaking about, what should be our major conversation? Not LeBron James, I like him. But he ain't Jesus. But some of y'all get more excited about LeBron than you get about Jesus. Set out in the cold, raining, ice falling. And yeah, Jesus got heat up in your ass. Flowers and all that stuff. Yeah. Y'all say, he too long, he too long. The game going to overtime. Y'all stay there all night. I just try to get 10 or 15 more minutes to tell you something else. I got a long way to drive. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Yeah, I'm telling, I know it is. I know I am. Now notice verse 4. Now he won't tell them, you can't do this on your own power. What I'm about to give you, you can't do it on your own strength. Same thing for you. See, we can't, if you really want Jesus to use you, you can't think about your own strength. He's going to give you power to do some impossible thing. He won't use you to do some impossible thing. He wants your life to be a display of an impossible life. Huh? Yeah, see. And all I'm doing is building the blueprint, because the Holy Ghost, you and the Holy Ghost are going to have to, I can't tell it all to you because I don't know it all. But I can set you up to know that this is the way it's supposed to go.
Yes, sir.
And this is not religion. This is not denomination. This is brand new stuff, because that question I asked in my teaching here, what have you done for Jesus the last 30 days? Now is a rocky question. You can't say pray. You can't say sing. You can't say I read the scripture for him. You can't read the scripture for the scripture. He is the scripture. You see what I'm saying? So our main objective is, let's look at a few things. John 2:5. Why we haven't been having no miracles. John 2:5. Oh Lord. Suck it now. John 2:5. Why we haven't been out having no miracle? Whatever he says to you, do it. Not whatever you say to him, he do it. You see why the miracle is not falling out? Because he said, whatever I say to you, do it. That was Mary told it. Said, what happened? The water turned to wine, right? All right. Luke 5:5. Because we make a lot of promises to Jesus. I think it's the fifth verse. And when they had this done. You know, they didn't heard the revelation and all that and heard their apostle and pastor preach it. But when they had this done, that's when it's going to manifest. And that's when the net broke. When Saul was knocked off his horse in the ninth chapter of Acts by that great light, in his getting up, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You see that? Use me. See, all those requests there. The one in, when Mary told those, this, whatever he says to you, do it. So that's the way he's going to use you. He's going to tell you some impossible thing to make you know he's possibility. Fear, you can't be in fear. You can't see the maneuvering of your life. You listening?
Yes.
The maneuvering of your life is God trying to get another chance to use you.
Yes.
Nothing can take you if you're obeying.
Amen.
Nothing can stop you if you're obeying. See? And Jesus said, I'm tired of this one-way street. You always want me to do something for you.
Yeah.
Every time I see you, here you come. Lord, help my child. The Lord said, won't you help my child?
Amen.
My child died for you for to get some things done. Help my child. Go do what I tell you to do. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
So it's not that your prayer's ineffective. It's not that you cannot have what your heart desires. But God cannot permit you to go some places unless he have your full attention. Wait for the promise of the Father. And being verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall what? When they therefore were come together to ask him, saying, Lord, will thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, "Is not some things is not for you to know. The time or the season which your father put in his own power." God, that's why it's a word of knowledge. That's why it's a word of wisdom. You're never going to have all wisdom. You're never going to have all knowledge. See, God give us what we need to do to carry out his assignment. We can't become equal with him.
Amen.
All right. Now, if anybody, I'm going to read this last verse, but if anybody here by TV or in this auditorium impartation is stronger than teaching. And sometime when impartation going on, you think you're not receiving nothing because you can't write a whole lot of note and get a whole lot of hooray. You think nothing happening. But the Lord is orchestrating something in his church now to make you more powerful.
Amen.
Your prayer life, I promise you, will be more powerful. Your study of the word from this night forward going to be more powerful. Your ability to handle problems going to be more powerful. There's a yielding and a surrendering here that the Lord is calling for. Some of your ugly ways going to have to be changed. The Lord calling for you. The Lord calling you to give you a beautiful life like never before, without all this hustling and struggling and crying and complaining and trying to hold on. He wants your real power to rise up in you. A real understanding, a real knowledge, a real wisdom to rise up in you. Real divine strategy, not worldly strategy. The church, people come to church and reaching for worldly strategy all the while. So your inner blueprint, may the Lord change your inner blueprint this very night. May the Lord, stand up. Let's talk to him. Let's just say something. Thank you, God. Tonight, I have an understanding that you really want to use me. I'm yielding tonight. Whatever you say to me, I'll do it. I'll try the spirit by the spirit. Everything you call me to do, I'm ready now. Give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Lead me, and I'll follow you. I want to be under the full government of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Wrap your arms around me. Change my blueprint. Let me understand clearly what you're saying to me. I'll never be the same no more. You have that eight voice power. What is for? What the eight voice for? What else he said is for? What else? Anybody can find something else? What else he said? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. Don't make nothing up now. You'll get in trouble. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. What else you find in that voice you can make up now? What else? I know you won't say something else, but ain't nothing else to say. What else? What other interpretation? Whatever revelation you got in this verse? What is the power for?
Witnesses.
Ain't for no house.
Witnesses.
Ain't for no car. You don't need no power to get a house.
Amen.
All you need is money to get a house. So what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for? It's for Jesus to use me in building his kingdom in people's heart. That's it. We've tried to use it for everything else, but that's it. That voice, that was that voice for. Jesus was talking. He ain't said nothing else. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Darrow, Gonzales, Baton Rouge, Sorrento. Where you from?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Guysmore. Where you from? What'd you say? Plaquemine? Gretna. What you say? What?
Shreveport.
What?
Homer.
Zachary.
Prairieville.
Brother Root. Y'all don't know that. Y'all don't know what that's at. Y'all don't know what that's at. Y'all don't know what that's at. Coon Trap Road. Yeah. How many see it? How many see it? I pray tonight that we are beginning to shift our understanding of the Holy Ghost and of the things of God. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. What did he say though? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. He said, you'll find rest for your soul. So I think there's a rest for the people of God. And I think that we're entering into it. I'm going to teach you some more about the apostolic church in the days to come. We'll take up in the book of Acts and go further on our next session. All right? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I receive, man. I receive. Let's be seated. Let's get our envelope ready to give our tithes and offering. Well, let's pray this Thanksgiving prayer. I won't be with you Thursday. Lift your hand. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done. The Bible said, be careful for nothing, and everything by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Walk in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for all the families that are represented here. There'll be peace among their loved one, that they'll have a harmonious condition, agreeable surrounding, and that they'll enjoy the best of everything. Every person the sound of my voice here in Darrow at Word Life Christian Center and around the world that tune in to us, may they have a peaceful day on Thursday, and may they acknowledge you and all the things you've done for us. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you.